Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
And so how many of you know you are blessed to have the Blocks as your pastor? That man, oh man. And I want to tell you what, I call Pastor Brandon Pastor GQ. It's not what he wears, it's how he wears it. I even thank God for Pastor Allison. How many of you are thankful that Allison is saved? Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. She is the little sister I always wanted. I thank God for her. And let me tell you about Pastor Jonathan. I was a youth pastor at Tiffany Fellowship. He was just a teenager. And when I would take our kids to youth camp, your youth would always be the first ones there because you live here. And we would always be the first ones there because we were close. And can I tell you what would happen? True story, Pastor Brandon. All the teenage girls would get to youth camp early because they wanted to see Pastor Jonathan. You guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, they would line up, Josh. They would line up to be the first ones to touch and talk to Johnny Block. Can I keep it real this morning? He was kind of like the Justin Bieber of Excelsior Springs. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, I'm just saying. And now God is using him. I thank God for a word that Allison shared on Facebook that revolutionized my ministry. Allison put something on Facebook. We will never achieve our destiny without opposition. And so it's just a blessing to be here today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn me to Psalm 103. While you're turning there, how many of you need a miracle today? I said, how many of you need a miracle today? Well, I want to tell you something right now. You look at me and you look at my wife and the first thing you're going to think is, that's a miracle. Would you welcome my wife, Kelly Young, here this morning? So if you turn with me to Psalm 103, I want to tell you today that you got two choices. First of all, we have God's plan. Everybody say God's plan. Is in Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Whose plan is that? But let me tell you about the devil's plan. The devil's plan is in John 10:10, and here's what that says. The devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's the devil's plan. And can I tell you, you know this is true. The majority of God's people are not flowing in God's plan. Oftentimes, God's people, unfortunately, are flowing in what? The enemy's plan. And you might say, well, Pastor Barry, why is it that so many believers do not have everything God wants them to have? Let me give you Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Can I share this with you today? If you don't have victory in your mind, you won't have victory in your life. If you don't have victory in your mind, you won't have victory in your family. If you don't have victory in your mind, you won't have victory in your finances. You see, the difference between God's plan and the devil's plan is Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the title of this message is very simply this. God wants you to have an abundant life, but you can't change your life until you change your thinking. You can't change your life until you change your thinking. Let me talk to you about what to think about today. Look with me real quickly at Psalm 103. Let's look at verses 1-5. Here's what the word says. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want you to give me a few moments this morning, and I want you to have God's blessing. I am here today because I want you to have everything God wants you to have. I want you to do everything God wants you to do. I want you to be everything God wants you to be. I want you to know that God wants you to have an abundant life. But you can't change your life until you change your thinking. Would you pray with me today? Lord, thank you for the abundant blessing to be here. Lord, I am so thankful to be here at ES First. I am so thankful for Pastor Block and Pastor Nancy Joe. I thank you for the Block family. And God, I pray your blessing over this house. I thank you that the very best days for ES First, they are not behind, but they're ahead. I thank you that the very best blessings for every person in the sound of my voice, it's not behind them, it's ahead. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, would you help us to have an abundant life in every area. Father, I speak that today. I come against any lack. I come against any illness. I come against any pain. And I speak blessing over this house in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. What I'm going to do this morning, I just want to give you 6 truths today that I want you to think about, because I want you to know I love you. But as much as I love you, I can't change your thinking. As much as Pastor Brandon loves you, he can't change your thinking. You can't change your life until you change your thinking. Let me give you 6 truths this morning really, really quickly. Number one, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, bless his holy name. Number one, would you think thoughts of worship? Do you know worship is not over when you leave today? Worship's just getting started. I said, worship's not over. When you leave today, worship's just getting started. If you want to change your family, you just bring worship right into your family. Amen by myself. If you want to change your workplace, you just start worshiping God right in the middle of your workplace. Let me give you this thought. Would you get your mind off what God's not doing and put your mind on what God is doing? The devil wants you focused on what God's not doing. God wants you focused on what he is doing. Can I tell you, Romans 8:31 says that if God is for you, who can be against you? Okay, the microphone must not be working over here. Let me try over here. Romans 8:31, if God is for you, who can be against you? These are the saved people. I'm going to do the altar call over here. Here we go. I want you to get this. You can't change your life until you change your thinking. Can I speak a now word to you? You were not created to make an income. You were created to make an impact. You were not created to make an income. You were created to make an impact. And I want you to hear me. God wants to bless you financially. There's nothing wrong with financial abundance. But here's what I want you to get. You weren't created for that. You were created to make an impact. And when God does bless you, you're blessed to be a blessing. Now listen, I don't normally do this. I don't normally confess my sin to people publicly. Can I keep it real this morning, Justin? Can I just keep this real? Can I tell you guys what I struggle with? Boy, this side is cold. Let me try over here. Can I tell you guys what I struggle with? I struggle with skinny people. Anybody feel me in this house? And you know who I really struggle with? I struggle with people that eat whatever they want and they stay skinny. Those people need to get saved in Jesus' name. I'm joking, kind of. Okay, so how many of you have a slow metabolism? My metabolism is in a coma right now. You know what I'm saying? I saw Jamie and I saw Chris. I'm like, where'd they go? I'm so proud of them. Can I tell you, I like two types of food, hot and cold. That's what I like. Well, years ago, I was severely morbidly obese. Morbidly obese. And a few of you remember me from that point. Josh White remembers me from that point, but most of you don't. And there was, how many of you know Ephesians 4:15, we speak the truth in love? I was a youth pastor at Tiffany Fellowship. This is a true story. There's this guy that came to me in my church, and I'm going to go to one of the skinniest people in the house. He came up to me, and he said, Barry, I have all types of physical problems, and if you don't change the way you eat, you're going to get the disease I have. And he gave me all the symptoms. Guess who had all the symptoms? I had every symptom. I went to my beautiful wife over here and I said, Kelly, what do I do? And she goes, well, let me pray with you. She prayed for me. I went to the doctor. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't have that disease. But the Bible says faith without works is what? It's dead. I gotta do something about it. So I said, Kelly, what do you think I should do? Can I talk to the single brothers in the house for a moment? How many of you have ever volunteered for anything? Would you raise your hand, male or female, if you've ever volunteered? How many of you have ever been voluntold? Say, when you're single, you volunteer. When you get married, you get voluntold. Can I get an amen, men? Amen. The men that said amen, they're going to have a long marriage. The dudes that didn't say amen, ladies, they're going to learn. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so Kelly voluntold me. She says, you got to go to Weight Watchers. So I walked in there, Ashley. It was me and 60 women. First thing I thought is, I should have joined Weight Watchers a long time ago. No, I'm joking. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to do this for 1 week. If it don't work, I'm never doing it again. I follow Weight Watchers. I've lost 60 pounds and I've been at goal now for 14 years. Now, here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to get, though. You can't change your life until you change your what? You can't change your life until you change your thinking. And what God wants you to do is he wants you to do this. Don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what God can do. You can never change the world when you focus on what you can't do. There is a lot of things Barry Young can't do. But there's nothing God can't do. And when you leave here today, I just want you to know that I love you and I want you to have an abundant life, but you can't change your life until you change your thinking. Don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what God can do. Let me talk about number two. Everybody say two. Okay, let me give you number two. Look at verse number three. Here's what it says. It says, he forgives all your sins. Number two, would you think thoughts of forgiveness? Can I tell you, oftentimes Christians struggle with guilt the most. Oftentimes Christians struggle with guilt way more than non-Christians. And let me explain why. Before we got saved, we didn't care what we were doing. Anybody remember those days? The BC days. The mullet days. Barry Young used to have a mullet. Business up front, party in the back. Anybody have a mullet? Raise your hand. Just raise it proud. I see those hands. Thank you, man. There's a few women that raise your hands. You don't count, ladies. Okay, let me reel back. So what I want you to get is this. When we get saved, now we know wrong from what? If you're here today, I want to say this. I want to be very clear. If you're here today and you're a believer and you've asked God to forgive you for your sins and you still feel guilty, you're out of God's will. Jesus did not save you so you could feel guilty. Jesus saved you so you could be in grace. You see, I want you to think thoughts of forgiveness. Do you know when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, the devil became powerless? Well, where do you find that in the Word of God? Well, I found it all over the Word of God. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 says, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, it's the power at work within you. Everybody in the balcony, Jesus' power is yours. Everybody on the floor, Jesus' power is yours. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, the devil became powerless. Here's the only thing the devil can do to a believer. Give you suggestions. How many have had the devil give you some suggestions before? Somebody cuts you off on the road and the devil gives you a few suggestions. Somebody causes some problems at Thanksgiving in your family with your in-laws and the devil gives you a few suggestions. Can I get an amen? Okay, here's what I want you to get. I want you to get this. Forgiveness is not achieved. Forgiveness is received. And there are some believers here today, you're struggling from guilt. You can never achieve forgiveness. But you can receive forgiveness. My wife and I, we're big Dave Ramsey people. Kelly and I are Dave Ramsey people. Not to be braggadocious, we tithe and we give above the tithe. And we used to be in debt up to our eyeballs. Now we're debt free. And can I tell you, I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit whispered in my heart. So when we did the debt snowball, if you've never done Dave Ramsey, you align all your debts, you take the smallest one first, you pay that off and you start paying your debts off one at a time. Okay. When we had student loan bills, once we paid the student loan bill off, we stopped paying. Can I tell you what the Holy Spirit whispered to me? A believer that still feels guilty over a sin they've given to Jesus is like somebody that's paid a debt off and keeps paying the bill. When you pay your car off, you stop making the car payment, right? When you pay the credit card bill off, you stop making the payment. But if you're a believer today and you still feel guilty for your sins, you're making a payment over something Jesus already paid off. Amen by myself. You see, I want you to get this. If you want to have an abundant life, you can't change your life until you change your thinking. And I want you to hear this today. Forgiveness is not received or achieved. Forgiveness is received. Now, let me go a little bit further. Let me go just one step further. I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. You have to forgive people that hurt you, even when they don't ask for your forgiveness. Good preaching, Pastor Barry. Good preaching. I know it is. I know it is. You got to forgive people when they hurt you, even when they don't ask for your forgiveness. It is not the grace of Jesus. It is not the grace of Jesus to forgive somebody when they ask for your forgiveness. That's called normal. It's the grace of Jesus to forgive somebody when they don't ask for your forgiveness. Let me go a step further. When somebody's harmed you and it's not your fault and you don't forgive them, it's like you're drinking poison. You expect it to hurt them, but it's hurting you. Would you think thoughts of forgiveness? Let me give you number three. Let's look at number three. You can't change your life until you change your thinking. Would you think thoughts of healing? Look at verse number three. It says, he forgives all your diseases. Would you think thoughts of healing? Can I be real this morning? How many of you are more scared of your dad than the police? Would you raise your hand? Oh, I wish the police would have saved me from my dad a few times. How many of you, your dad believed in applying the board of wisdom to the seat of knowledge? Can anybody feel me in this house? Okay, I want you to get this. When my dad disciplined me, it wasn't to be mean, it wasn't to be harmy, it was to love me. Can I just get real for a second? Parents, your kids don't need you to be their friend. Parents, your kids need you to be their parents. Listen to me, parents. If you don't discipline your kids, the teachers are going to discipline your kids. And parents, if you don't discipline your kids and the teachers don't work, then the police are going to discipline your kids. And if that doesn't work, then it's going to be the judge that disciplines your kids. And if that doesn't work, it's going to be the correctional officer. You see, friends, I want you to get this. I want you to get this. When God disciplines us, or sometimes God allows things that are harmful or hurtful, can I give you this thought? Your pain is God's platform. Your pain is God's platform. Can I tell you, today's pain can be tomorrow's praise. But see, I want you to think thoughts of healing. Can I give you this thought? Hurting people hurt others. If somebody hurts you, that means they're hurting. And some of you have done nothing wrong and people have hurt you. But listen, you can't change your life till you change your thinking. Can I give you this thought? You can't control how you're going to die. You can't control how you're going to die, but you can control how you're going to live. I said, you can't control how you're going to die, but you can control how you're going to live. Would you think thoughts of healing? Can I give you this? Don't become what hurt you. How many of you have seen that? There's a little boy or girl, they're raised in a negative home. And when they get older, they become what? When their parents? Negative. How many of you have seen it in marriages? There's a marriage where a spouse is unfaithful, they're unfaithful, then they get into another marriage and they're what? Guys, listen to me. Don't become what hurt you. Think thoughts of forgiveness. Think thoughts of grace and mercy. See, if you want to be healed, you got to position yourself to be healed. Can I go just a little bit further? Let me go just a little bit further. The more you complain, the weaker you become. The more thankful you are, the stronger you become. Guys, I'm going to tell you something right now. Nowhere in the Bible does God bless complaining. So the more you complain, the weaker you become. But the more thankful you are, the stronger you become. Friends, I want to tell you something today. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you, but you can't change your life until you change your thinking. Let's look at number four. Look at what the Bible says in verse number four. He redeems your life from the pit. Would you think thoughts of restoration? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Would you think thoughts of restoration? Can I tell you, we all deal with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Let me try over here one more time. We all deal with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. See, the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we're calling God a liar and the truth is not in us. Would you look at the person next to you and say, I love you, but you're not perfect? Okay. Now you've got two choices. When you guys leave here today, you got two choices. You can be an umpire or a lifeguard. When you leave here, can I tell you what an umpire is? An umpire calls people out. An umpire makes judgments. And that's what a lot of Christians do. They look at how people live, they call them out. They look at how people act, they call them out. Or the second person you can be in Excelsior Springs is a lifeguard. You know what a lifeguard does? Saves lives. You see, God will never use you to transform Excelsior Springs when you're an umpire. Can I tell you what I've learned as I preach the gospel all over this country? People that are in sin already know they're in sin, and they don't need me to tell them they're in sin. As an evangelist, people don't need me to be an umpire. People need me to be a lifeguard. You know, a lifeguard, when somebody, how many of you remember when you were a kid and your mom and dad said, now, sweetheart, you can't go into the pool until you've waited 30 or 40 minutes for your food to settle. Anybody heard that? Okay, so if somebody goes into the pool before the 30 or 40 minutes and they start drowning, does the lifeguard say, I told you so, and stay outside? No, what do? They jump in and save their life. Listen to me. Obviously, we can't save lives, but we're the vessel Jesus uses. Are you going to be an umpire Christian or a lifeguard Christian? Because I'm going to tell you, the people that God uses to transform this world are Larry Blocks, who are lifeguard Christians. Amen by myself. Can I give you this? Your setback can be a setup for a comeback. Your setback can be a setup for a comeback. This Bible says in Romans 8:28, we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him. This Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:47, the battle belongs to the Lord. This Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And the very first verse in this Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If God created the heavens and the earth, he can create an answer for what you're dealing with today. You see, friends, I want to encourage you that you can't change your life until you change your thinking. Can I give you this before we move on? The key to supernatural power. If you want supernatural miracle working power, you can have it. But here's how you get it. If you're taking notes, you only write one sentence down. This is the sentence. The key to supernatural power is just agree with what God says about you. The key to supernatural world-changing power is just agree with what God says about you. You know when we get in trouble? Is when we agree with what the devil says about us. Or we agree with what other people say about us. I don't care what anybody else says about me. All I care is what God says about me. Can I quote Bishop T.D. Jakes? This is what Bishop Jakes says. It's not what other people say about you that counts. It's what you say about you that counts. When I wake up in the morning, this is a true story, Justin. I get out of bed. Jennifer, I run into our master bedroom, bathroom. I look in the mirror. I say, Barry Young, you are tall. Barry Young, you are handsome. Barry Young, you have a full head of hair. Barry Young, you are athletic. The Bible says we call things that are not as though they were. Can I tell you today, there is power when you just agree with what God says. Would you just agree with Luke 1:37, there's nothing that's impossible with God? Would you agree with Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Let me give you number five. Everybody say five. Okay, this one, we're going to camp on this for a moment. Look at verse number four. It says, he crowns you with love and compassion. Would you think thoughts of grace? Some of you have been hurt and it wasn't your fault. Some of you have been slandered, you've been knifed to the back, you've been treated unfaithfully, but friends, I want to tell you something. Hurting people hurt others, but healed people heal others. Would you think, number five, would you think thoughts of grace? Can I give you this thought? My response is my responsibility. See, I can't control how people treat me. I can't control what people say about me. I can't control, but I can control me. My response is my responsibility. My response is my responsibility. I had the blessing to be a law enforcement chaplain. I've been one now for over 10 years, and Larry Block is the one that got me into law enforcement chaplaincy. Do you know what 80% of American prisoners have in common? It's not race. Do you know what 80% of American prisoners have in common? It's not religion. 80% of American prisoners have one thing in common: no dad. Okay, how many of y'all have seen this in Excelsior Springs in the Walmart parking lot? Have you seen this, Carrie, in the Walmart parking lot? Have you guys seen this where there's a mother and her kids? Now, Jason, get out of the car, Jason. Anybody seen this? Jason, I'm going to count to three. Get out of that car, Jason. Jason, I'm going to count to three, Jason. One. Come on, Jason, get out of that car. Anybody seen this picture before? Jason, get out of the car. Two, get out of the car, Jason. Two and a quarter, two and a half. Can I tell y'all what my dad did? Now, my dad's name was Tom Young. He was a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps for World War II and the Korean War. Can I tell y'all what my dad did? Jamie, this is what my dad did. Barry, get out of the car now. I'm going to count to three. One. What happened to two and three? Be lucky I gave you one, boy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Guys, can I tell you something? That you're never going to be blessed if you're not teachable. If you're not correctable, if you won't listen to your pastors, can I talk to the kids? If you don't honor your mother and father, God's never going to bless it. You see, God wants to bless you, but you got to think thoughts of grace. Can I give you this thought today? Nothing changes if nothing changes. Amen by myself. We got people all over America. They want something to change, and they won't change. Clue dog, bite them, roof. I'm telling you right now. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Now, can I speak to the men real quick? Can I speak? Ladies, you can turn on social media right now. Ladies, you can check your email. Let me speak to the dudes. I want to speak to every father right now. I want to speak to every husband right now. Even if you're a single dude, I want to speak to you right now. And I want you to get this in your heart. I want you to get this in the spirit. Men, if serving your family is below you, then leading your family is beyond you. Let me say that one more time. Men, I need you to listen to me. If serving your family is below you, then leading your family is beyond you. After we get saved, the most important thing we can do as men is serve our family. Can I tell you what God told me when I got called to preach 30 years ago? This is what God told me. Barry, you can't minister to a church until you minister to your family. Man, I want to encourage you today. You can't be perfect. It's impossible. But our goal is not to be perfect. Our goal is to serve our family with the love of Jesus. I want to encourage you today. God wants to bless you, but you can't change your life until you change your thinking. And I want everybody here today, would you think thoughts of grace? Can I give you some good news? Because I've screwed up things in my family at times. Can I tell you, I've done some stupid, crazy things. But can I give you some good news? If you've made mistakes like me, God is more concerned with where you're going than with where you've been. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. God is more concerned with where you're going than with where you've been. Let me give you the last one, number six. Look at verse number five. It says, he satisfies your desires with good things. Would you think thoughts of fulfillment? You know what 1 Timothy 6:6 says? But godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you know almost all sin can be traced to a lack of fulfillment? Almost all sin can be traced to a lack of fulfillment. People getting into drugs. People getting into sexual sin. People starting to lie, cheat, and steal for money. It's a lack of fulfillment. Guys, can I tell you something? Money never made a man rich. Money never made a man rich. Walking and pleasing God and doing what God's called you to do, that's a rich person. So let me kind of break this down. Can I give you this thought? What you yield to, you're going to be full of. So if you yield to anger, you'll be filled with anger. If you yield to bitterness, you'll be filled with bitterness. If you yield to jealousy, you're going to be filled with jealousy. But can I give you the good news? If you yield to the Spirit of God, you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you yield to grace, you're going to be filled with grace. If you yield to the great peace of God, you're going to be filled with that. I want to ask you today, what are you yielding to? Now, do you know why Excelsior Springs has a special place in my heart beyond Wabash Barbecue? Can I tell you why it has a special place in my heart? Because May 25th, 2000, I met this blonde at the Elms Hotel. I was doing her brother's wedding. And I rolled in there, Josh Lester. I rolled in there, and there's this drop-dead gorgeous, beautiful blonde. You know what I did? I walked up to her. I said, you've won the lottery of money, and I'm the grand prize. And you've won the lottery of love, I'm the grand prize. You can collect me this Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Do I look that crazy to you? I got down on my knees, and I begged her to go out with me. And thank you, Jesus, August 11, 2001, I locked her down. Can I tell you something? Amen. Can I give you this thought? What you yield to, you're going to be full of. And the question is, you can't change your life until you change your thinking. And as much as this pastoral staff loves you, they can't change your thinking. As much as I love you, I can't change your thinking. Only you can. You know what the Bible says in Joshua 24:15? Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to ask you today, what are you yielding to? Can I give you some good news? That God is seldom early, but he's never late. God is seldom early, but he's never late. Today, God wants to bless you. If I could have the worship team come play real softly. God wants to bless you. So here's what I want to do as we close. I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor Barry, you preach this message on changing your thinking. You can't change your life till you change your thinking. I know what you're thinking right now. Well, Barry, how do I change my thinking? Let me give you three ways real quickly to change your thinking. Let me give you number one. First of all, what you say you're going to think. Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of life and death is in the what you say you're going to think. Let's test it right now. Can we test it? Can we test it? Here we go. Let's test it. Here we go. Don't think about lunch. Don't think about lunch. Don't think about lunch. Don't think about lunch. What are you thinking about? See, what you say, you're going to think. What you say, you're going to think. And so that's how we change our thinking. We begin to declare God's word, God's blessing, even when we don't see it. Number two, how do we change our thinking? How do we change our thinking? Let me get in your seat. Number two, what your friends think you're going to think. Can I tell you what? You may be here today and you need to give somebody in your life a gift. You may need to give them the gift of goodbye. Because what your friends think, you're going to think. You know why I like to hang out with Pastor Brandon? Because, man, he sharpens me. A month or two ago, I came out here and had lunch with Pastor Block. You know what? I got sharpened. Can I tell you, life is too short for me to hang out with people going to drag me back. Now, listen. You can't change the world unless you touch the world. We got to be around believers or unbelievers. But once unbelievers start transforming us and we're not transforming them, we got to take a step back, Jack. I want you to get number three. You will never overcome what you tolerate. You will never overcome what you tolerate. So maybe the devil's telling you your marriage can't be healed. That's a lie. Maybe the devil's telling you your body can't be healed. That's a lie. Maybe the devil's telling you your family can't be restored. That's a lie. Maybe the devil's telling you that God can't do great things with your life. That is a lie. Can I tell you what I learned a long time ago? It doesn't take a lot of man if God has all the man. Do you know the degree to which you surrender to God determines how much power with God you'll have? Let me say that one more time. The degree to which you surrender to God determines how much power you have. It doesn't take a lot of man if God has all the man. Let me close with this story. I love history. I love history. And in World War II, they had the Chungai Japanese internment camp. And the Chungai Japanese internment camp was for American soldiers that got captured. The Chungai Japanese World War II camp, it was for all American soldiers that were captured. And what the Japanese would do in the Chungai camp is every day they would pull these men out and they would work them 12 to 14 hours a day. And they'd bring them back to the camp. And they would give them shovels and they would dig. They would dig trenches. They would prepare landing fields for the Japanese military. And one day when they brought all the soldiers back, they counted all the shovels to make sure that no prisoner kept a shovel to escape. And they were missing a shovel. And the Japanese commander commanded all the army, U.S. Army soldiers to come out. And he lined them up and he pulled out his gun. And he said, I'm going to give you 1 minute. If the soldier that stole this shovel does not step forward, I'm going to kill all of you. And the Japanese pulled out multiple machine guns and pointed them at all the soldiers. 10 seconds went by and no soldier would step forward. 20 seconds went by, no soldier would step forward. 30 seconds went by, nobody stepped forward to admit their responsibility. 40 seconds went by, nobody would step forward. 50 seconds went by, and immediately the captain of the Japanese army raised his hand and he cocked his own gun. And finally, one U.S. soldier stood forward, and the Japanese captain killed him on the spot. And said, everybody go back to your prison cell. The next morning, the Japanese recounted the shovels and they miscounted the night before. Why am I telling you that story? Because a perfectly innocent man died for everybody. All 300 soldiers lived because a perfectly innocent man said, take me. And that's what Jesus did for you and me. Jesus was perfectly innocent. He was perfect. There was no sin. There was nothing found in him. But for you and for me, I'll step forward. If you're here today, every time you see a cross, I should make sure that you know you shouldn't have low self-esteem. You're so valuable to God that he gave his son for you. I love you and I want you to have an abundant life, but you can't change your life until you change your thinking. Would you bow your heads with me, everyone in this house? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for hearts and lives that have pricked. Thank you for hearts and lives that, Lord, have been touched by the Spirit of God. I thank you for the victories. I thank you for the transformations that are going to take place. If you're hearing the sound of my voice with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you'd say to me, Pastor Barry, I'm here today and I'm saved. Pastor Barry, if I died today, no doubt I would go to heaven. But I'm ready for an abundant life. I'm ready for signs. I'm ready for wonders. I'm ready for supernatural turnarounds. I'm ready for dramatic reversals. I'm ready for an overflow of God's blessing, an overflow of God's power. If that's you, raise your hand all over this sanctuary right now. Yes, 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 yes. You see, God wants you to have an abundant life. And thank you for keep your hands up. You see, when you agree with God, when you agree with God, that's when the doors of the supernatural open up. Number two, you can put your hands down. I can never do this. I can never preach and not do this. I cried so many tears this last week in Boston. 50 people got saved. Nuts. And that's because Romans 2:4 says it's the goodness of God that leads men in repentance. If you're hearing the sound of my voice and you're not right with God, God is not here to expose you. God's here to restore. And you're hearing the sound of my voice, and you would be honest, because you can fake Pastor Block out, you can lie to Pastor Brandon, you can fake me out, but you cannot fake out the Holy Spirit. You're not right with God this morning. I love you. You say, Pastor Barry, I want to be right with God. See, you can't join ES First to get right with God. You can't give an offering to get right with God. The only thing you can do to become right with God is to receive Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You see, it doesn't matter what you did 5 or 10, 15 years ago. Well, Barry, I made Christ Jesus my Lord at youth camp years ago. My question is, where are you at right now? Not where were you 20 years ago? Where are you at right now? Are you here in this packed out church with nobody looking around and you say to me, Pastor, I'm not right with God? With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, I want to be right with God this morning. If that's you right now, would you just raise your hand? That's me, Pastor Barry. I'm not right with God. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Five people. Anybody else this morning? Because see, if there's a voice saying, raise your hand, that's the loving voice of Jesus. And if there's a voice saying, hey, you're a good person, you don't need to raise your hand, that's the voice of the enemy. Anybody else this morning? Pastor Barry, I'm not right with God. Once you've raised your hand, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Once you raise your hand, you can put it back down. Anybody else this morning? Thank you, sir. Anyone else this morning? Right now, we're going to shake the gates of hell. I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's not a denominational prayer. It's most certainly not a Barry Young prayer. It's Romans 10, 9, and 10. Would you just pray this with me? Everybody in this house out loud. Would you pray it with me? Out loud. Lord Jesus. Let's try it one more time. Let's everybody pray this together. Lord Jesus. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart. That you died on the cross. And you rose from the grave. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to save me. I receive you, Jesus. I receive eternal life. Amen. For those 5 or 10 of you that prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God in Jesus' name. Welcome. Now, listen to me. When you leave here today, the devil's going to tell you, well, you ain't saved. I want to give you one verse for those of you that prayed that prayer. It's found in Romans 10, 13. And it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You're not saved because I say you're saved. No, you're saved because God says you're saved. Can we thank Jesus Christ this morning? Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. I'd like you to stand this morning. I'd like you to stand this morning. And if you want the supernatural, abundant power of God in your life, would you just raise your hands to the Lord right now? I just want to speak God's blessing over your life. Right now, Lord, I pray over every life. I pray over every hand that is raised. I speak an overflow of your blessing. Right now, God, I speak an overflow of your power. I speak an overflow of your wisdom. Father, there's people this morning that they don't know what to do in a specific situation. I speak the wisdom of God in Jesus' name. Lord, for finances, that there's a drought financially, I speak a breakthrough in finances in Jesus' name. Lord, for those that their sons and daughters have wandered away, I speak them home in Jesus' name. Lord, for every need, for every hurt, for every burden, Father, I speak the word of God. In Psalm 147, verse 3, that you heal the brokenhearted and you bind up their wounds. Lord, I speak the word of God in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, dream, or imagine. I pray over every hand that's raised this morning, that you would do more in their life than they could ask, dream, or imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I love you. The best days for your life, they're not behind you. They're ahead of you in Jesus' name. Can we thank God this morning? Thank you, Jesus!